Sideline Sanity with Michelle Tafoya.
The legendary Jerry Baker of the Wall Street Journal.
That period of the 1970s was a period of real internal division, assassinations, terrorism, tens of thousands of Americans dying in Vietnam. Worse than the situation we find ourselves in today. But America did come through that. A bit of luck, good leadership, and an understanding of the real virtues of America.
Sideline Sanity at SalemPodcastNetwork.com.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this first day of November, right? Okay, 2022. And tonight we have our highly professional board operator and programmer, none other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening. Then we have way out yonder in Missouri, none other than that parson, Pastor Joe Larson.
You mean your highly unpaid professional assistant? Well, I'm still here.
Already.
Waiting for that raise.
Yeah, you've been there for a long time, haven't you?
Yep, right. Something like that. A few weeks at least.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think, what do we go back, 40 years or so? And I don't know. Okay.
Not that long, but I've known you a while. Long enough to know that, you know, jokes haven't gotten any better.
Well, I've gone back 50 years, so you're just a newcomer then, right?
Yeah, I'm just a newbie.
All righty. Speaking of newbies, doobie doobie, we have in here live, well, pretty much live, in the studio, none other than Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
Alrighty. And tonight we have a very, very special guest sitting in here with us. She's a wife, a mother, and, well, she knows what a woman is. She knows what a woman is. Christina.
Oh, wow, you found somebody. Great.
Yeah, she's right in here in the studio, and she knows what a woman is. She is one. Christina Rugner.
Thank you, Pastor Ernie. It's great to be on your show tonight.
Don't be afraid it gets weirder. Okay. And now Christina is here, and she is running for Ohio State Senate. She's going to tell us about what an Ohio State Senator does here in a few minutes. And that would be in the 27th District here in Ohio. And we're going to be looking into that. But here, first, Joe, we got to tell the folks out there in the 27th district why they need to vote for this lady, okay? Because, well, does the Bible tell you it's a sin to vote for wicked people?
It sure does in many places.
So if you believe that abortion is all right, that abortion is actually in the Constitution and it's a woman's right to know, is that a sin?
Yes.
Okay, if you believe...
Kind of all through Scripture says, thou shall not, must not, cannot, will not shed innocent blood.
If you believe that homosexuality or sodomy, LGBTQ, God calls an abomination. The first time the word was used was to describe that's a sin, Joe?
A definite sin. That's one of the grievous sins. The Lord, an abomination is the definition the stench of rotting flesh in the nostrils of a holy God. Doesn't sound very good.
No, that's... Joe, do you believe that to use a bioweapon and change the DNA of people to force a shot, what they call it a vaccine, which it's not, to force that upon people against their will, do you believe that's a sin?
I would say that's a big sin.
Do you believe, Joe, that giving people fentanyl, with just a little bit of it, kills children, and purposely keeping the borders open to bring that into our country, knowing how many thousands and thousands of people are dying from that, that's a horrible sin?
Yes. Killing our children, yes. The children made in the image of God, I'd say that's a very big sin. Anybody that does anything that promotes that or encourages the death of those children or any of God's children.
In Ezekiel chapter 28, we see that God chastising Ethbaal the third and also Satan himself. Both of them are chastised of God for human trafficking. And we have that here big time in Ohio. Do you think that's a sin, Joe?
I know it's a sin.
So people that support these things, let's start tonight. Would you read tonight over in Psalm chapter 12? Would you read me verse 8?
Sure. Turn a page here. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted.
The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Do we see right now that happening in America today?
We see the wicked men all over. The fish rots from the head down, and we've got the wicked in positions of power, and we just watch it rot all the way down, don't we?
Would you read me verse 15, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 15, Proverbs 17, 15.
He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abominations to the Lord.
Would you read me, Joe, Proverbs 24, verses 23 through 26?
These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Every man shall kiss his lips that giveth a right answer.
All right, let me ask you this, Joe. How do you give respect to a wicked? What is one of the ways you give respect to the wicked? Would voting for them be one of those ways?
Voting for him, donating money to that person, male or female, recommending that others do likewise. And just that, what you just said reminds me of Proverbs 29, verse 12. If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked.
And then go over to
man like that, you are a sinner and wicked also.
Absolutely. Now, go over to Isaiah chapter 5 and just read verses 18 through 20. Isaiah 5, 18 through 20.
Right. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin, as it were, with a cart rope. That say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that putteth darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. And where'd you say to stop?
That's good, right there. So here, we want to take a look at what's happening today. Now, God's immutable. It means he doesn't change, right? So people that hear what we're saying say, well, yeah, That's religion, but we keep our religion and politics separate, okay? In other words, do you think that God keeps his religious and politics? If we take a look starting in Genesis all the way to Revelations, every prophet, every priest, every preacher, their faith and their politics were inseparable, were they not?
They were, because we have this thing called world view, and that is how you see the world and how you respond to the world. And your worldview depends on whether you worship the God of creation or if you serve the synagogue of Satan.
So the Bible, when the very first verse that you read there talked about the wicked are on every side, and also in verse 15, it talked about when you excel or raise up the wicked, and then when you curse the righteous. Now, let me ask you a question. In election, when you would have people that stand for righteousness running against people that stand for unrighteousness, does that not exactly apply? Would it not be a sin?
Yes, it exactly applies.
And so,
you see, the thing is, we have God, the supreme judge of the universe, and really the only law that matters is his, because it is settled law. God made it, set it, it's settled forever. And whether we go to heaven or hell determines whether we obey him or do the will of Satan. And so basically you cannot separate politics from your faith, because we that are born again are children of God and must what? Obey God rather than men. And God is the supreme judge of the universe, not the Democrat Party or any other political party.
So there's no stuttering there, okay? In other words, God's immutable. He says what he means what he says, and it doesn't matter what people think out there. I mean, if people think, well, you know, gee, God's got to kind of get in line with the national opinion polls. No, no. God does not get in line with the opinion polls. You see, the way it works,
doesn't take polls.
The way it works is God have expectations of us. We have obligations to him. And, boy, this is what our job as pastors is, trying to warn the people out there that it is a sin to vote for a wicked person. It's a sin. Now, then
look at the things they promote, the abortion, the killing of children, the sodomite marriage. You go down the list of all the things that all these things are anti-Christ, and anything we do that promotes something that is anti-Christ is definitely a whopper of a sin.
All right, so the reason we said all that is we have a lady here in the studio who is, for the last 11 years, she's been active, and I've watched her over the years. She has been very, very, the very, very first thing that I should ask her. She probably doesn't know, because she's probably not a Bible scholar, but maybe her daughter is. But anyhow, tell her what your daughter can do, Christine, how she can memorize.
Oh, thank you. So I've been blessed to have three daughters, and the youngest one I homeschooled for a while through a program called Heritage Classical Academy. And it was through this program she memorized the entire book of Philippians and the entire book of James over the course of 2 years. And she wasn't the only one. It was her entire class.
But I was listening to her, and I couldn't do that, Joe. I couldn't, you know, what she was doing. I heard her repeating word for word, and boy, I was amazed. But anyhow, here, this lady has been very active, and I'll just tell you this, that, you know, God gives us, Christine, you know, you probably don't know where we got the divine institution of human government, the real government. We got that during the Noahic Covenant, and during that, God gives us 5 points, okay? And in the first point was to whom it was given. You find that in Genesis 9, verses 10, 11, verses 12, or verses 15 and 16. Then the second point was the intent. The intent was man was to govern for God. Man was to govern. That was the entire intent. Now, but the third point, Christina, this was the entire purpose of divine human government. Now listen, the entire purpose of divine human government, the third point, You find that in Genesis chapter 9, 5 through 7, was to preserve the image of God, that being man. To preserve the image of God. And that's what you've been doing since you've been, you have been virtually extremely active in introducing pro-life legislation, have you not?
Yes, absolutely, Pastor Ernie, I have. I mean, and first of all, let me just say I am I'm a sinner saved by grace, just like everyone else. You know, I believe that, you know, God has us here for a time such as this, and wherever he places you in this world, whether it's in a classroom, whether you're sweeping floors, or if you're in the state house, no matter where it is, we're called to be obedient to him.
Amen. Tonight when I opened in prayer at the Tea Party meeting, and I told him, I said, the reason you're all here tonight is God has raised us up for such a time as this, okay? And because we are here now, he's raised us up for this time. Again, God expects us to run to this battle. And that's why you want to be state senator, is to run to that battle, is it not?
Yeah, so Pastor, I actually am the state senator now.
Yeah,
so,
go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I mean, I've been the state senator for the last 4 years and state representative for 8 years before that. If I could just take a moment and take a step back and explain perhaps to the listeners.
It's your program.
So what exactly is, it's your program. So currently, in the state of Ohio, we have what's called a General Assembly. That's the legislative branch of our state government. In the General Assembly, it's made up of a House of Representatives and the Senate. The House of Representatives has 99 representatives. There are 33 senators, so it's 3-1. We make the laws for the state of Ohio. We are all of us are term limited after 8 years. So in the Ohio House, you have 2-year terms. You can serve 4 of them. That makes 8. In the Ohio Senate, we have 4-year terms. So you can have 2 4-year terms. That also makes 8. So I've been 8 years in the Ohio House. I've had served 4 years in the Ohio Senate. And now I am running for my last 4-year term in the Ohio Senate.
I knew that.
Okay. Right. Very good, Pastor Ernie.
All righty.
Thank you.
Anyhow, so this is why we've got you here, because we've got to get you elected. God expects us to try to take our country back, doesn't he? Okay. He gave us one nation under God, did he not? Okay.
We were founded by God-fearing men, yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. And so what is happening in our country is a terrible, terrible thing. And so, again, I want to tell the folks that you are in the 27th Senate District. Tell the folks what area that covers.
Right. So currently the 27th Senate District will be just in Summit County, Ohio. That's northeast Ohio. Akron is in Summit County. We are just about half an hour south of Lake Erie.
Okay, so there you go. Now, the issues that are very important that we have to run, of course, the pro-life issues is very, very important. You were a real champion on the heartbeat bill. I worked on that very, very hard from the beginning, too. But the other issues that we have that we really need, let's talk about this for a minute. For example, those that tried to force us, you know, when they told us that the churches had to close down, that we could only have 10 people in the church at a time, you know what? The very first person to come to church Sunday morning was from the courthouse. He was a deputy over there, and he stopped in. I said, what are you doing here so early, John? And he said, I know that you're not going to listen to what what they're telling you, their mandates. And I know that you're going to keep church open. I know you're not going to wear the mask, and I know you're not going to do that. So I'm here today to make sure nobody gives you any trouble. Because you know why? Because we obey God rather than man. We obey God rather than man. Some years ago, Christine, when I was in a battle with the ACLU, they were trying to charge me with all kinds of false charges. We were in a courtroom, and the judge decided to give the ACLU a $20,000 settlement against me. I told the judge, you might as well make it $20 billion because I won't give them 20 cents. He says, if this court orders, I won't give them 20 cents. I'll obey God rather than man, and you ought to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. The next thing they asked, the ACLU asked the judge, will you make him produce a list of contributors? And the judge says, will you produce a list of contributors? I said, I don't keep a list, but if I did keep a list, I wouldn't produce it anyhow. He said, even if this court orders, I repeated, even if this court orders, I'll obey God, and you need to do the same thing. And that's where he left it, you see, because this guy did have a fear of God. He understood what he was hearing, okay? People out there need to understand what they're hearing, don't they, tonight?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And when it comes to worship, me, my family, we believe that we should worship in person, and we're called, there's fellowship together. I mean, there's so much that we get from that as believers when we come together in person. So certainly, you know, through the pandemic, I think it should have been a person's choice, a family's choice, do what you want to do and what's right for you and your family. But for us, it was to continue to worship together with others.
You worship together, but did you not try to promote the shot?
No.
Did you stand against that?
There was a bill in the Ohio House. Well, actually, I did, yeah. There was a bill in the Ohio House, I think it was House Bill 248, and so I did come out publicly in support of that piece of legislation that would not allow this shot to be mandated in both across, whether it's employers or schools or anywhere. But also then, I did introduce Senate Bill 311, which would restore some strength back to the General Assembly so that the Department of Health would put some guardrails around the Department of Health. So, yes. So, and that bill was eventually vetoed, but we did come back and pass Senate Bill 22. And then shortly thereafter, you did start to see the statewide mandates lifted. So, I think it's good overall, and I'm glad that's in the past, I think. I'm pretty sure the state of Ohio has moved on.
I'm hoping they moved on, because I can tell you this, the people here in Ohio have had enough. They've had enough, okay? Mm-hmm. And so let me just ask you, are you having a problem with your headset there? Okay.
I am.
Oh,
can now, you, it's better now.
Is it working now? Yeah. Okay, there you go. All right, so now here again, we're talking about the most important issue is the issue that you have been a real champion on all this time. And that's the pro-life issue. You've been out in the forefront of the pro-life issue. And the Bible, God has said, this day have I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life and a blessing, not death and a cursing. And so here in that bioweapon, that goes along with life and death. And the other thing, too, that goes along with life and death today in Ohio, we have a real, real problem with fentanyl. It's killing people. It's killing a lot of people. And what are we going to do about that? You're a state senator. Tell me, what are we going to do about it?
Well, Pastor Ernie, you're absolutely right. We have a drug epidemic, not just in Ohio, but across the nation. But Ohio, certainly. Our family, even my kids have stepped up. My daughters, two of them were in high school, started the Drug-Free Clubs of America chapter in their local high school here in Ohio and grew it to be the biggest chapter in the nation. But in terms of the state, certainly we can put penalties on the folks that traffic the drugs. But at the end of the day, it's I don't believe this drug problem is going to be solved by the government. I mean, frankly, it's going to take and communities coming together, churches coming together, neighbors. Everybody has to be all hands on deck because this is nefarious. I believe it is satanic. Trying to get the people getting addicted. It's destroying lives. It's destroying livelihoods. So from the state level, we will do what, I mean, we've actually done quite a bit. I mean, we created the ORS system. So that's in Ohio. Again, you have a national audience. But for those that aren't in Ohio, basically doctors, if they prescribe opioids, they have to log this so that when the same patient were to go to an other doctor, let's say, and say, hey, I want some more of this opioid, then that doctor can look on the ORS system and say, oh, my goodness, you've already been prescribed that medication. Therefore, I will not prescribe you anymore. So it increases communication between doctors. So we are taking steps and doing what we can as a state government to limit that. But but certainly there's more we can do. At a federal government, we need to stop the inflow of immigrants. I mean, we cross the southern border. I mean, that's just that's a problem coming in there.
We got a problem coming across the southern border. I mean, Columbus has a very high Somalia population, and we have a very, very high problem with human trafficking. Hang tight. We're going to be back right after this. Don't go away.
Remember me, you're taking all my money. Remember me, you gave my job away. Remember me, or am I just a number? Who's white and straight and doesn't qualify for foreign aid? Remember me, I helped you get elected. But you haven't done one thing you said you'd do. Well, even though you'd rather not remember me, I'll remember you.
I'll remember.
In November. As I step into the little booth, I'll remember in November. To both,
or anyone but you.
Remember me, I serve my country proudly. Remember me, I love the USA. Remember me, or am I just some bumpkin who you didn't think would notice the bounce checks and midnight raids? Remember me, I wrote you all those letters, thinking that you cared what I thought too.
Alrighty, we're back. Hey, Pastor Joe. Joe, out there where you live, do they have any restaurants yet?
Yeah. We have a few. You can even, they even got rid of that law that you can't tie your horse in front of the bar on Sunday.
Okay, very good.
They really moved up.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be out in Middlefield tomorrow. They got some of those kind of things out there, too. But anyhow, here's the reason I asked that, Joe. I think we mentioned yesterday, you and I were talking, I was telling you how... This restaurant I go to, up to just a couple of years ago, my wife and I would go, and we would both have our favorite meals, and it would cost us $25, okay? In other words, we could have a good meal for $12.50 a piece, okay? $25. Now, Joe, that very same meal that we spent $25 for cost $50 today, $50 today, Joe. If you notice things... Joe Biden says the economy's great. He said the GDP went up by 2%, and the economy is really good under the Democrats. Do you feel that it's good, Joe?
He hasn't, whoever's doing that talking, hasn't had to buy diesel fuel to run a tractor, hasn't had to buy fertilizer for crops or hay ground, hasn't had to buy a lot of equipment or other chemicals lately. No, they have no idea what's going on.
Okay, Christina, what are we going to look? Right now, the Democratic Communist Party, and that's what it is. There is no Democratic Party the way it used to be. It's communist. They're communist. No.
Yeah.
Pretty much, the government's been weaponized against us as Christian Americans, conservative Christian Americans. It's been, in fact, you know, anyone who is pro-life, the governor of New York said, if you're pro-life and you believe in the Second Amendment and you believe in the First Amendment, you should leave New York and go to Florida. And they did. A lot of people are leaving New York and going to Florida, okay?
Well, we'll welcome those conservatives here to Ohio.
Yeah. And so, but the economy, we've got to go back to the state. We've got to have a strong state government, because there's things that we can do. We're not on the border, but we're getting our share of illegal immigrants, aren't we?
Right. So, Pastor Ernie, you talk about strong states, and let me just start there, because that's what our founding fathers, their intention was as they crafted our Constitution. I mean, they laid out very specifically the powers of the federal government, and then they clearly said that any powers that weren't listed are reserved for the states or for the people. And that's this whole purpose of federalism, right? So we're 50 laboratories of democracy. And certainly there is a role for the federal government, but over the years it has had supposed to be post offices and declaring war in some roads, but it you know, and I'm joking, they do more than that. But certainly over the years, there's been such government overreach into every facet of our lives. And I think as conservatives and as Americans, we need to stand up and push back and say enough is enough. And we have to take our country back. And that means people truly getting out of their comfort zones and running for office, because it's not easy to run for office. It's not easy to take those arrows. But we need people to do that, not just at the state level and the federal level, but every single school board, every city council. Go run for your library board. I mean, get out of your comfort zone and run for office.
And Christine, what you said was so true. Do you realize that probably about 60% of the federal government is unconstitutional? Most of the things our founding fathers said, the things that affected our daily lives, everything from our religion or making a living, all these things were to be at the state level because they wanted government closest to the people.
Right.
Quite clear. Yeah, so we have this federal government, 60% of it shouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm. It was government for the people, by the people, and other people, and the federal government only had the power that the people had given it, but today it's not. It's
very limited.
Right, and today that's not the case, is it?
No, that's right. There's been overreach from cradle to grave, quite literally.
It has been. And so we have to take it back. And you mentioned something there, school board, very, very important, school board. For 50 years, Christina, 50 years, I've been telling people, if you love your kids, get them out of the public schools nowadays. We've lost. The public schools would not be bad if we had parents sitting on the school board, not bureaucrats, not communists. And we have absolute antichrist New Age communists in so many of these school boards.
Well,
and so,
that was the silver lining, Pastor Ernie, of the COVID pandemic, is because so many of the kids now went to online school, right? And so they're sitting in their kitchens on their little laptops, and now the parents can peer over their shoulders and see, oh my goodness, what is Johnny learning? And so it really was an awakening in this country to parents saying, wait a minute, you know, we want our kids learning reading, writing, arithmetic, the basics, you know, not all this other stuff that they're indoctrinating our children with. And so parents started to speak up and get engaged. And that's a good thing, because parents are the number one teachers of their kids, or should be. And we want our parents engaged. And we want them engaged in a civil, you know, in a respectful manner, but absolutely they should be engaged.
Well, yeah, but, you know, when you take a look, so the parents were not aware of Common Core. They were not aware of critical race theory, the pornography in the textbooks. I saw several parents where they went before the school boards and they wanted to read. Look, we took this book out of the library in the school that you give to our children. This is the curriculum, and they were not allowed to read because of the profanity in the book before the school board. Now, what does that tell you right there?
Well, that tells you it's not appropriate for adults. It's most certainly not appropriate for children either.
Okay. Just recently, a fellow named Todd there in Chardon, who was on the school board, he brought up some concerns that he had about the way that some of these young girls were dressing. Now, and I saw some of those, you might have seen them on the news, but, you know, these young girls were not dressing in a proper way. They were exposing too much, okay? They set up on him and at the school board. Well, then a lot of his friends and the parents saw that, and they had another meeting, and everything changed. It went the other way. The parents have to get involved. These are their children. You saw what happened just about a week ago in Dearborn, Michigan. It was a whole different story. Instead of having FBI agents there to harass the parents, because Dearborn is highly, highly Muslim. The judge was a Muslim. The police chief was a Muslim. The mayor was a Muslim. And these parents that came out, the Muslims, were very upset with the pornography that was put in the textbooks in the public school system. But you know what? The FBI didn't harass them like they did Christians there.
Yeah, I mean, talk about what's age appropriate. You think about movies, right? I mean, so the movies in the movie theaters are rated like G, there's R, there's X, whatever. And they have A and PG-13. We restrict people based on their age and what's appropriate for them to see, and rightfully so. That makes sense, right? So it's not, and we should therefore do the same with these books. We're not banning books. I mean, the liberals will say, hey, they're trying to ban books or burn books. We're not. What we're saying in the schools is this material is not appropriate for kids, and it should not be there. You know, if you're an adult, you know, as Christians, we don't ever find that appropriate and wouldn't look at it. But you know, if you're an adult, that's a different story. But certainly not for children.
No, it shouldn't be. And you know, and again, like I said, for 50 years, I've told people, if you love your children, get them out of there now.
Yeah, but Pastor Ernie, I would say rather than just, and I homeschooled my kids.
I did too.
I would say we don't run from it. I would say let's take it back. We need to go back.
I'm in total agreement. But until you take it back, okay, you know, I would pull your children out. I was in Missouri, out there where Joe's at, and Joe, you remember, I was speaking at a very large Baptist church out there, and I was surrounded by a little bevy of about a dozen young 30-something young women. Mm-hmm. They were all teachers. You remember those? They were all public school teachers. They were all, and they came up and they told me that every single one of them, these were public school teachers, every single one of them homeschooled their children, but they were in the public school kind of like missionaries within
right.
in there, okay.
Yeah. Well, because you're right. I mean, we need to have some good people go into, whether, like I said earlier, the libraries, as councils, the schools, and I mean not as school board members, but also as teachers, because that's you think about over the years, that's how the left has really indoctrinating a generation of kids. We should have Christian conservatives in these schools teaching them as well, not running from it. We need to go there.
I remember vividly that fellow named Nikita Khrushchev, when he took his shoe off and he beat the top of the desk and he said, "We will bury you from within, and we'll do it with your youth without firing a bullet." And he was talking about the Jane Fondas and the John Kerry. Those are my age. Those are people my age of that day, and the Hillary Clintons, okay? And they did exactly. They told you what they were going to do, and they've done it, okay? Mm. And that, but you're right.
We can do it, too. We got to take our kids back.
Let's take our kids back. Let's take America back. We can do it. But we have to start by electing the right people like you. Now, let me ask you this. What would be wrong with introducing legislation and making it mandatory that parents are allowed to sit in some of the classrooms, okay? Or if not mandatory, at least voluntary, that in the classroom, if a parent wants to go in and sit in the classroom and see what their children are being taught, shouldn't that be allowed?
Oh, I absolutely think parents should have, yes, just like they did over the when the COVID pandemic, and they're looking over their shoulders and they can see what they're being taught. Parents, I think, always should have a right to see and know what their children are being taught in schools. Absolutely.
All right. So and that would be maybe some good legislation for someone to introduce and get passed.
Right. Well, thank you.
Yeah, okay.
I've been very productive in the Ohio General Assembly. I had 10 bills passed just this last year and a half.
Well, I know you have, and that's why you're here tonight. We really want to get you reelected.
Thank you,
back
Pastor
there
Lee.
Because fortunately, Ohio has been a red state because of people like you. And we have people, too, like we'll be, not tonight, probably tomorrow, we'll be playing some of Jim Jordan, who, wouldn't it be wonderful if we had more Jim Jordans in our Congress today?
Yeah, he's fantastic.
He says what he means what he says, stands his ground, doesn't he?
He's a man of action.
Let me ask you this. Do you mind if we open the phones and take some calls? Would you like to take some calls?
Sure.
Okay. Now, we're looking for the people out in the Akron area, especially out in the Akron area, to call and ask Christina any questions. Again, she's running again for a second 4 years in the Ohio Senate. We need to keep her in the Ohio Senate. Phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Give us a call. Christina, State Senator Christina Rogner is here, and we'd like to have people from that area. If she's your state senator, especially call if you have a question or a comment. Give us a call. Normally, you've impressed them. You know, they're so impressed.
There has to be some questions out there.
Yeah. Well, we normally get questions from all over the country, but I think they'll be coming in pretty quick. In fact, I think a call is coming in now. And let's see. There you go. We'll have one just a minute. And again, we have.
I've got something for Christine. And the listeners.
It's Christina.
Christina, sorry.
Yeah. Oh,
got that. All right.
Josephine.
way back, Sam Adams, when he signed the Declaration of Independence, this is what they're not teaching in the public school system. He said, "We have this day restored the sovereign to whom all men ought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven, and from the rising to the setting of the sun, let his kingdom come." Now, when the firebrand of the revolution, when he signed the declaration, made a statement that strong about the sovereign God, that all men ought to be obedient, kind of settles the question of what the founding fathers thought. This nation was created, what? A nation under God, under his laws. And they went ahead and said that everything, our laws and institutions of government, were based on the Ten Commandments of God and the teaching of the New Testament, which, the way I read it, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So whenever these liberals want to, you know, do a change, they are going against everything the founders thought when they wrote the Constitution, set up the government, and they always have to change everything from what is righteous to that which is unholy.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to take some calls. Let's go to Ed. Ed, you're in the air. Hello, Ed, you're in the air. Are you there, Ed? Okay, Ed, you're in the air. Okay. I think is he there?
Hello?
Yeah, there you are. Do you have a question or a comment?
I just heard a brief portion of your program with your guest. I'm glad she's on your program and things along those lines. I guess more so than a question, I have a brief comment of how diverse the country is. I was originally from Alabama and came to Cleveland, seen a lot of things change. A lot of things that people tend to weaponize and pit people against each other it's not what it seems on the surface. And I can say that because about 15 years ago, my hometown, Alabama, got its first non-black student that had from the first grade through the 12th. And it was a little Mexican girl because she didn't have anywhere else to go. And it wasn't because there was any state regulations or anything along those lines. It's because the culture was still to that point. And when a lot of things changed, the culture changed. It wasn't because anybody hated one another or anything like it. It's just because it didn't change. And it was to the point that, things remained to that point. And I will tell you this much. If you, no matter what the color of your skin is or whatever, if you break down the people down south in the deep south, they'll be the first ones to help you, whatever the case might be, the whole nine yards. But there's a lot of people that think they know everything about everybody else, and they don't realize how diverse the culture is in this country, and it has nothing to do with right or wrong. It's just the way that they was raised.
Yeah, this country is certainly, Ed, and thank you for calling in. This country is a great melting pot, and I think that's one of the strengths of our nation. My mother immigrated here from Finland, and, you know, we are all sons and daughters of the Most High God, so that makes you and me brothers and sisters. So, I do think diversity is it's a beautiful thing. It's what makes our nation strong, and it's something that we can and should embrace because God loves us all, no matter what the color of our skin is.
All right, very good. Thanks, Ed. Got to move on. Your mother used to go out and witness at the abortion mills.
She did.
Yeah, she did. And you know how I knew that? One of the ladies in our church would go with her, a lady named Pam, okay? And she would go with her, and she would tell me.
If my mom's listening now, I love you, Mom.
All right. 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. If we have a question or a comment, we have Christina Hrogner. She is a state, Ohio State Senator, a very, very active pro-lifer. Been, ever since I've known about her, right out front, we want to keep her and people like her back in office for the next 4 years. Now, folks, Christina, I think we're in for a dark winter. What do you think?
Literally or figuratively?
I think
you're talking about daylight savings time Pastor?
No, yeah. I think times are going to get tough. I think there's going to be a lot of shortages lot of things.
That is correct. I mean, we're hearing about diesel shortages.
$6 a gallon diesel now, and they're rationing it.
Yeah. I mean, there's the price of food is going up. As you started the show out talking about inflation, I mean, that should not surprise anyone with the way the government has been printing money and people getting people to come out to work is harder and harder these days. As I talk to businesses, they're like, it's hard to find people to work. So you have to pay.
Why do you think that is?
More.
Why do you think people, I was in Cincinnati and I was speaking down there at a Patriot conference, and afterwards we went out to try to get something to eat. And to Bob Evans, they had a sign, closed because shortage of help. We went to three different restaurants before we could find one that was open. We find a fourth one that we could get something to eat. And all had signs out that there was a lack of health.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great question. We have some people calling in.
Yeah,
Pastor.
we got Ellie and Ellette in Akron. So go ahead, Ellie. You're in the air.
Hi, Senator. I heard you talking on the radio show earlier about, you know, your previous experience in the House and the Senate, and I was just wondering what your proudest accomplishment is, and when you're elected next week, what you're going to continue to do as a member of the Senate.
Well, Ellie, thank you for that question. And I love the way you phrase that. Thank you. You made me smile. We've already talked about the pro-life legislation, and certainly I'm very proud of that. But also just this last General Assembly have passed a lot of occupational licensure bills. So these are just very practical bills that would join Ohio to a compact of states. So what does that mean? So it's like, you know how you get a driver's license in one state and that one driver's license works in all 50 states? You don't imagine how cumbersome it would be if you had to get a different license in each state. But if you have a occupational license, like you're a physical therapist, if you get that in the state of Ohio or in any state, it's only good in that state, but not anymore. So now I've joined Ohio to these states. So like you have a physical therapist license that will work across state lines for 35 different states. It's really exciting. So it helps patients. It helps the medical professionals. It's just very practical stuff to help real people. So I've done a bill for physical therapists, for nurses, for doctors, for occupational therapists, for counselors. So that's pretty exciting. Also very proud of cutting regulations. I mean, as a conservative, I believe in smaller, more limited government. And government just has grown too big and too much overreach. So Senate Bill 9 was a bill I sponsored to cut regulations by 30%. That's cutting it 10% a year over the next 3 years, setting a stage that's inviting to businesses and the economy. So some pretty exciting stuff. And Ellie, I really appreciate the question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ellie. Thank you very much. We're coming up to a break very quickly. Tell us, why do you think people don't want to work? I know the answer.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I'd love to hear your answer, Pastor Ernie, but I think it's a couple things. Number one is, well, government's not helping or didn't help. Certainly, again, during the pandemic, as we're providing, there's unemployment assistance, and then they had this additional unemployment assistance. And so people, we heard time and time again, were getting paid more to stay at home than to work. And, well, there's no incentive to work in that case. So that certainly was a problem. A lot of that is ended now. But another issue is just the general, I think, philosophy of this next generation coming up. I mean, we need to get them to understand that work is a good thing. Work builds character. It makes us stronger. And yeah, work isn't always fun. That's why it's called work. But it but we need our nation, especially this next generation, to come up and to work hard.
Well, the Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Right?
Oh, there you go.
Okay, so God gets it, right? He was on top of that, wasn't he? Right from the very, very beginning.
Thank you.
All righty, we're coming up to a break now. And so when we come back from the break, we're going to let Christina go and get her beauty sleep. You know why? Because it's been working for her. It's been working for her.
Okay, thank you, Pastor.
It hasn't done me any good, but it's been working very well for you. And because she's got a busy schedule tomorrow, she's going to be on the program across the hall over there. Okay, mm-hmm. And so, and do you know what? I'm going to tell you when we go to the break who you're going to be up against when you're on tomorrow on the other program.
I'm intrigued.
You're on Bob. You're going to be on Bob's program, right?
That's right.
And but anyhow, we're going to be playing a clip when we come back after this break. And do you remember what the clip was, Craig? That's it. You got it. There you go. That's why we keep him here. He's right on top of it. Folks, okay, so stay tuned. We got to come back, and then we got to hear a lot because Joe has got a lot of stuff to tell us, don't you, Joe?
Pastor Ernie, thank you so much for having me on today.
Thank you for coming. We'll be back after this. Are we there? 10-9-8. Okay, we had the wrong call. Again, thank you for being here. Bob France, so tomorrow at 9 o'clock.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right,
What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Border Battle, the new six-part documentary series, puts you on the front line of America's southern border and rise of the deadly drug fentanyl.
The overdose death crisis in this country is directly linked to Cartel Jalisco New Generation and the Sinaloa Cartel and their labs.
Fentanyl is 50 times more powerful than heroin. 3 grains of fentanyl would kill you.
Tens of thousands of Americans have died, and our southern border is a drug cartel war zone.
Now they have sophisticated weapons, tanks. They're dropping explosives on their competitors right by the border. We've never seen this before in the history of the country.
Border Battle shows a border crisis like never before, with exclusive footage exposing the consequences of illegal immigration, drug trafficking, and decades of government neglect.
This will get worse before it gets better.
Watch Border Battle from Turning Point USA. Download this shocking six-part series now at SalemNow.com. That's SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.